And so I would like us to visit Calvary, and I would like us to think of these words. Lord, remember me. Beginning with verse 39 of Luke chapter 23. Luke 23, beginning with verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward in our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a great darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. Lord, remember me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Whether folks are viewing online or whether folks are here, you have given us the opportunity to come and worship with you. And help us, Lord, to visit this place that you've laid upon my heart, that the Scripture reveals. And Father, if there's someone in our midst that doesn't have that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, they may know Him, they may know the name, but they don't have that personal up-close relationship, and they've never been saved. Father, speak to that heart. And Lord, for those of us that are saved but just needs to draw closer to you, Lord, I pray that you help us do that this morning. Help me, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Several years ago, it was on a Saturday morning. We were preparing for Bible school. Bible school was going to start on Monday. I guess it's been 3 years ago now, something like that. And so we got up, and I had this excruciating pain. And it wasn't long when I was having this pain that I was headed to the ER. And the pain was so great that I was actually nauseated. And I walked into the ER, and when you're in pain, the last thing that you want to do is fill out papers. It looks like you could pre-fill them out and not when you're not having any pain. And then that way you could just look, here it is. And the worst thing that you want to hear is, well, go take a seat and they'll get to you in a minute. So I think Darla ended up filling out the paper and I just signed it because I couldn't hold my hand still and I was pacing. And then someone wanted to come in and do their little triage, and I'm not knocking the medical field. They have to do what they've got to do. But when you're in pain, you don't want to do a triage. You just want to get back there and give you a shot, something. And so they were doing a triage, and the gentleman that was taking my vital signs said, what do you think's wrong? I knew what was wrong. I've done had several of them. Kidney stone. I knew what it was. And he said, well, what makes you think you've got a kidney stone? Those are questions you don't want to answer, right? Because you're trying to be polite and Christian-like. And so when they sent me back out to the waiting room, the pain kept getting worse and worse and worse. And then they were going to take my blood pressure. Well, I could already tell them my blood pressure was skyrocketed because I was in so much pain. And so one of the nurses carried me back and was going to sit me down in a chair. And another nurse saw how bad I was, and she said, don't sit him down. He needs to lay down. And so they, this nurse and I wanted to hug her, because she started an IV in me before, and I'm getting to a point about the message, so just bear with me. And so she started an IV in me before I ever saw a doctor, because she had told Darla, Darla had gone in with me, she had told Darla that, he's in bad pain and he's gonna have to have some major pain medicine. And so it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And so Darla was trying to be kind and comfort me the best she could. The nurse was saying, you know, the doctor will be in just a little bit. And everybody around me was trying to help me, but I was in pain. But it wasn't until the doctor walked through the door that my focus left the pain and went straight on him. Now, I still had the pain. But my focus was directed on him because he was going to be the one that would change what was happening because he was going to order the medication to go in the IV. So I had to put my undivided attention on him. And although I was in so much pain, I needed to see him. And I needed to talk to him. And so he saw my blood pressure. He saw all those things. And he immediately ordered the nurse to, and I don't know what it was and don't really care. And then she ended up having to give me 3 different doses before my pain would ever get to where, it was tolerable. And then at that point, then they ran the test and did what they needed to do. I was thinking about this passage of scripture. And I was thinking about what was happening. Now, if we were to visit there this morning, we would see 3 individuals. We would see Jesus. We would see one thief, one of the malefactors. And we would see another malefactor. Now, the crowds were there. The soldiers were there. And all were looking on at these 3 individuals. They were in pain. They were nailed to the cross. And so they were dealing with this, and I can't imagine that kind of a death. I mean, we can try to imagine, and we can read the scriptures and see exactly what Jesus experienced, but unless we have experienced it, and that's just the physical side, that's not when God turned his back. But can you just try to imagine the pain that they were in? So how could they carry on a conversation with all 3 of them hanging on the cross? It's because in my case, the focus was on the doctor who had the right words. And in this case, the thief was able to communicate with Jesus because he knew Jesus had the right words. He knew Jesus was the one that he needed to look to. And the Lord knows everything there is about us. The Lord knew this man before he was ever into the world. Before he ever entered into the world, one of my coworkers, his wife had a baby, and he's been out for 2 weeks. He said he's supposed to be back this coming Monday, and he would send me text. And he actually called me one day, and I told him, and you know what I'm getting ready to say. Your life changes when a baby's present. Your life changes. And so he had sent me a text, and he said she was in labor almost 2 days. It was a very hard labor from what I understand. And so they ended up taking the baby. And then so I sent him a text and I said, are you able to get any rest? I hope you can get some rest. And he said, yeah, a little bit. He said, but I was hungry. He said, I was just hungry when she was in labor because they were at the hospital for so long. He said, I was about to starve. And I sent him a text and I said, well, you're going to have to make up your mind. You can either eat or sleep with a baby, but you can't have both. And you know what I'm talking about. So I'll get to talk to him on Monday. And he actually sent me a text a couple of days later and says, I know what you're saying. But think about this thief on the cross. The ones that said, Lord, remember me. Let's think about him just for a minute. The Lord knew him before he was ever even born. He knew the mother that gave birth to this child. The Lord knew the father. The Lord knew the family. But something went wrong. Something went wrong in this man's life. His life became the life of corruption. And he became a thief. Maybe his father was trying to teach him a trade. Maybe his father was trying to teach him how to build. Maybe the father was trying to teach him how to make things, work with his hands. But something went wrong in this man's life. And we don't know what time period. We don't know what time period that it went wrong in his life. We don't know what happened in his life to cause him to choose to be a thief. But now the path that he was on would lead to death. I'm sure he didn't want it to. But sometimes in life people get on the wrong path. And they go through a downhill spiral. And it's easy for us, if we're in the crowd, to look at those on the cross and say, they're guilty. This is the punishment. But there was a conversation that was going on, and the crowd wasn't included. There was a conversation, because it really didn't matter what the crowd was thinking. But what was mattering was the words of these two malefactors, these two thieves, and Jesus Christ. That's what mattered. It didn't matter what anyone else thought. It didn't matter what anyone else was doing. It didn't matter the Roman soldiers were there. Nothing mattered but what was taking place. They went down the wrong path, and they were found guilty. And now they were facing their judgment. Death was going to come to them that day. And as I've talked to people before about death and talked to people about eternity, I've realized that the reason individuals kind of shun you a little bit is because they've never experienced death before. Now, there's some, and I'm just going to make this statement, and it's not for or against, okay? But there's some different mandates on this vaccine of this coronavirus and whether you should take it or whether you shouldn't, and this isn't for or against. But I was listening, I was reading a testimony of someone who had dealt with COVID, and once they had it, And once their health had deteriorated so bad, then they didn't care what they tried. They wanted something, whether it was experimental or not, to try to overcome what COVID was doing to them. Now, I say that to say it's hard to talk to an individual about death when they've never experienced it. It's like it's foreign. Some of the most tender moments when you can talk to an individual is when a loved one passes away or someone that they know has passed away. And you can go down the streets and there's a place not far from our house where some teenagers got into a car wreck close to Oak Ridge. And I think two of the four of them died in this car wreck. And they all went to the funeral, and this group of teenagers, it was a huge crowd that was at this funeral. And that's the most tender moment that you can talk to an individual about death. because they have experienced it in some way, shape, or form. Well, there's a tender moment here with this thief. It wasn't about his guilt because he was already guilty, but it was about eternity and what was going to take place. And there was no doubt that this pain was great. He would look around and he would see the crowds watching, but just before death, this conversation took place. And just like we're celebrating our 100th year, and we were just sharing memories of individuals who were in these doors, or walking through these doors, many of them sang, many of them preached, they're not here anymore. And the reason they're not here is because they experienced death. But it's how we experience death that makes the difference. There were two malefactors. One male, and I'll just mention him very briefly. The one malefactor says to Jesus in this conversation, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." So he began that conversation with doubt in Jesus. He began that conversation with the word, "If thou be Christ." If you was to ask him while he was standing there, or while he was hanging on the cross, "Do you want to be free or do you want to be saved?" The answer would be yes. I mean, that goes without saying. It would be yes. And he said, "Save thyself and us." But where the problem was he missed on the fact of who Jesus is. That's what the problem was. He was talking to Jesus. There's people that talk to Jesus all the time. And they know who Jesus is by name, but they don't know him in that personal relationship. And that's what is needed, knowing Jesus in a personal way. There's many people that pray. There's many people that have concerns and they say, "Lord, please help." But the difference between this conversation that the one thief had was the fact that he doubted who Jesus was. And then comes the one who says the words, "Remember me." And those are very sobering words. Just before death, "Remember me." The focus wasn't on the pain. Just like I mentioned in this emergency room that I was in, I knew I was in pain. There's no question. But my focus was on the doctor, the one that would give the word. He could have walked out and he could have said, "Let's send him home." I'd have wrung his neck. But he could have. Jesus could have said, "Mm-mm." But he didn't. And that's just how much he loves us. He loves us no matter what our past is. He loves us no matter what direction we took. But there was a fear in this man's life. There was a fear in this man's life. You say, how do you know that he was afraid? Well, he says it in verse 40 as he's talking to this other one on the cross, this other malefactor, and he rebuked him. He said, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing that we are in the same condemnation? Do you not fear God?" And we look around us in this world, and it seems like there's very, very few people that fear God. Fear, they don't fear him. They don't fear the outcome and the possibilities. And just, I mean, you can go back and you look at Noah and you look at the things that took place and God judged them. And people don't fear. They've got their own agendas. But if you talk to them, they would say, I want to go to heaven. The reality is the fact that there's two places. The reality is the fact that there's going to be heaven and there's going to be hell. And when we take our last breath, whenever that is, we're going to be in one of the two places. And there's no turning back. So when I hear the words and read the words, remember me, I think of how sobering words those are. Verse 41 says, and we indeed, so he's given testimony, he's given testimony of his life. Look, there wasn't any question that they were guilty for being a thief. There was no question. You know, and I think it's amazing that Jesus did not question that. Well, why are you here? You deserve what you're going through. But Jesus already knew. He knew that they were guilty. And he knows that we're guilty too. Lord, remember me. Remember me. There's a lot of different beliefs, and there's a lot of different, and I'll just put them all under the category of religion. What would religion do for this individual? What would religion do when he said the words, remember me? Some beliefs is about our works. So if someone was his judge, they would say, well, let's see what kind of good works you did in your past. Think about it. He was on the cross because of his works. So let's go to another idea. Some belief systems out there would say, just follow the commandments and you'll be okay. Thou shalt not steal. He was a thief. So what would the commandments do? Oh yes, it'll pronounce you guilty. But every one of us this morning is guilty. And we could name religion and belief after belief after belief. And every one, he couldn't get baptized because he was hanging on the cross. Religion could not help this man. And religion can't help people today. You know, I think that's one of Satan's all-time favorite tools is religion. Because if we can justify ourselves through religion, then we feel like we're okay. But in reality, we're not. The only thing that could help this man was grace and mercy. And that's exactly what Jesus showed. Jesus showed him grace and mercy. One thief said, if thou be Christ. The other thief said, Lord, remember me. If we were in the crowds looking on, we would see that. The man recognized that he was in a helpless situation. And that's what people have to do today. They have to realize that they're in a helpless situation between them and their relationship with God. And if a person doesn't realize that, then there's problems. And I go back to my own testimony when I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. I knew that if I took my last breath, I was on my way to hell. And I considered myself into being in a helpless situation because there wasn't anything else. My dad was a preacher. My family was raised in church. My sister sang. But that did absolutely nothing for my relationship with God. It wasn't until I said, Lord, save me, that He saved me. He admitted he was a sinner, verse 41. He admonished his fellow sinner Because he said, look, we're here because we're guilty. And that's what a person's got to understand. We should never think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think because we're all sinners. He accepted the fate of his punishment. He accepted that fate. And as he was going through that pain on the cross, and as he was going through the agony of that cross, he talked to Jesus Christ. But look at your own life, you that are saved. Look at your own life. You were in pain when you were talking to Jesus. And when he pulled you up close, when you accepted him as your personal Savior, do you remember that burden that was lifted? You know, that's hard to explain to someone. It's really hard when you're talking to an individual, it's really hard to explain. Well, the burden of sin has been lifted, as the song goes, but it's hard to explain that. But when you experience it, you know exactly what you're talking about. He had a repentant heart. Because once he recognized he was there and his punishment was due, he had a repentant heart and he turned to Jesus Christ and he just said the words, "Remember me, Lord. Lord, remember me." The other thief talked to Jesus, but he never repented. And there are people that talk to Jesus all the time, but they never repent. And they never come to that saving knowledge. That one thief that was questioning Jesus, if you was to ask him when he was hanging on the cross, do you want to be saved from this judgment? He would say yes. But the only way that he could truly be saved is through Jesus Christ. He received the holiness of Jesus Christ because Jesus said the words, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." What wonderful words. And he says, the thief, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." That speaks of God's holiness. He never doubted Jesus Christ. And he reached out by faith. Because that's the only place he could reach. He reached out by faith and he asked for the proper help, which was Jesus Christ, because he was helpless. And that's the proper help that people need today. And this morning he received that help, as we read in the scripture, and you can receive that help too. "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." You know, no matter what you've done and are doing, no matter what state you're in spiritually, maybe you say you're not as close as you were at one point. You know, no matter what state you're in, Jesus Christ can help you. And sometimes I had to catch myself, and I'm going to share, you know, it's not that I like to share baggage, but I think we're all guilty of it, and I share sometimes because maybe you deal with the same thing. But recently I went through a drive-thru, and I had ordered the food, and I went to the drive-thru, and I looked in to pay the person, and I was taken back. This person was confused by what he was wearing, if you know what I'm talking about. He was confused. So my first thought was, ooh. And then it's like a snap of a finger. And do you know that Jesus loves that person as much as he does me? And that's what we have to remember. We're never any better than anyone else. It's only by the grace of God that we're here today. And I believe that Jesus Christ would have saved that other thief if he would have only repented and come. He would have received him just like he did the one that says, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." No matter what's going on in your life, Jesus can help you. No matter what you're going through, Jesus will help you. We just have to come to him. But we have to reach a point in our life, just like this thief did, we have to reach a point in our life and realize there's no one else that can help me. And when we have that realization, then we can have that conversation. No matter what pain we're in, we can have that conversation with Jesus Christ, and it will make a difference. But we have to reach that point. Just as sobering as the words are, "Remember me," it's just as sobering to see the love of Jesus Christ when he says the words, "Today, shalt thou with me be with me in paradise." It wasn't his life. He was guilty. It wasn't the things that he did and the path that he went on and the path that he took. It wasn't about that. But it was what he did with Jesus that made the difference. And it's going to make the same difference today. No matter how young or how old you are, it really doesn't matter. You can come to Jesus just like the thief did. And I challenge you to do that. Just like these individuals hanging on the cross weren't worried about the crowds, I invite you to come this morning and don't worry about those around, but I invite you to come this morning and let's talk to Jesus Christ. If you're online this morning and you're listening and you're struggling, let me invite you to come to Jesus. Repent, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and thou shalt be saved. And your world will change. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for our time together. And as we briefly visited Calvary, we thank you for Calvary. Thank you for your willingness to not say we're guilty, because we're already guilty. You've already told us that. But you're willing to receive us just as we are, no matter what's going on in our life. But we have to come. Two thieves, one wanted Jesus and one did not. Both wanted to be saved, but only one wanted Jesus. Help us, Lord, this morning. If there's someone here in our sanctuary that wants to come forward and accept Jesus, will they come, Lord? Not worrying about the crowds, but just simply coming and talking to Jesus. If there's someone listening online, Lord, won't they come? And may we always remember these words, "Lord, remember me. Remember me." Bless this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Mike, what number do you have for us?
Number 276.
276.